WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to 90.7 The Capstone. You are now tuning in to the student section, college football. My name is Tanner Thompson, joined with Graham Bacco. Graham, before we get into it, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing good, but, you know, still a little salty after the Red Wings getting kind of screwed. Getting a little screwed out of the playoffs.
Yeah. What happened? Explain it to me.
So the situation was is that the Flyers had to win in regulation to stay alive.
Right.
So the Red Wings, they're down 4-3 with 7 seconds. They get a game-tying goal with 3 seconds. So they get at least 1 point.
Right.
So they have effectively eliminated the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
The Flyers, I'm guessing, their coach saw that.
Right.
And what he does, there's three full minutes left in a tie game.
Okay.
The Capitals are crossing half ice. The Flyers coach pulls the goalie.
Oh, my
God. The Capitals get a wide open empty net goal to take the lead with 3 minutes. And, of course, the Flyers didn't score.
Right.
And eliminated the Red Wings. Because it's Capitals own the tiebreaker over the Red Wings.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yep.
That is wild.
And that is why the Capitals are playing the Rangers instead of the Red Wings on Sunday.
I did not know that level of pettiness was prevalent
professional hockey. The comment sections on all the posts on Instagram were crazy. They're like,
imagine.
Man, we feel bad for
Detroit. There was a situation like that in football. I believe it was the Eagles keeping the Giants out of the playoffs.
Was it something like that?
It was with, would Doug Peterson have still been there?
This was a couple years ago.
Nate Sudfeld or something like that?
Well, another situation.
Instead of Jalen Hurts?
It could have been that, but that reminded me of the Chargers Raiders situation a couple years ago.
Right.
They could have tied and it would have ended a tie. Then the Chargers infamously called a timeout and the Raiders said, the heck with it. We're just going to run it one more time and kick an easy field goal and kick him out.
And Brandon Staley doesn't have a job. Well, he has a job, to be fair. Where did he end up? San Francisco?
Where did he end up?
It was San Francisco, but I feel like I need to. You're looking that up. I'll let you do it. I feel like it was Sam, and I think it's a pretty good move if it is San Francisco.
Okay,
because they moved on from Steve Wilkes for some odd reason.
Yeah, assistant head coach.
That makes sense. Wow. Well.
How are you doing, though, by the way?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I got a haircut today.
Nice.
I don't know if you noticed, but.
It looks good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, man, I truly enjoy mock drafts.
I do.
Every time we do them, so I'm really excited to do our last one before the actual
one week from today, round one.
I guess I don't need to write anything down. We have our mock draft simulators in front of us. It makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, with that being said, man, I mean, I think we can go ahead and get right into it. Do you want first pick or do you want second pick?
You know what? We'll do first pick.
You want the easy one to start off?
Yeah, you know, pretty obvious here. Look, Caleb Williams, you know, I think it's pretty obvious it'd be a stunner if they did not choose Caleb Williams.
It would be one of the crazier draft narratives we've seen if they didn't take Caleb Williams.
It would be very strange.
Yeah. But yeah, all right. That's it. That's an easy one. We won't spend too much time on that. Incredibly talented player. Best quarterback in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
I guess maybe not according to Elliot Miller, but he's not here, so.
Well, I mean, I'm on the Jaden. Me and Elliot are more in concurrence with that, honestly. I'm a Jaden Daniels believer.
Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams, or just a Jaden Daniels will be a good player?
I might go with Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams, to be honest.
Wow. I get it. I don't know. I think my thing with the two of them is that if you're going to – I think that any criticism that you have of Caleb Williams, you know, it being – obviously, Jaden Daniels has the open field running over Caleb Williams.
Right.
That being said, when Jaden Daniels is running in the open field, he has a tendency to end up like a Looney Tunes character sometimes.
He takes some shots he should not be taking.
Exactly. And so there's that factor. But in terms of the passing game, I really don't think that there's a criticism that you can have of – Caleb Williams that you can't have of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, no, honestly, look, my criticism with Caleb Williams is just more off the field, like his attitude and like what, like sort of like the impact or effect he would have on a locker room, you know, just public comments that
they
he's
rave
made
about
and stuff.
Him at USC, man. They love him.
I know,
there.
But like, I don't know. He just kind of off-putting to me just with stuff he said in public and stuff. And
I really can't argue that, too. If it's a vibe that you get, I really can't argue that.
Right.
I respect it. But anyway, that leaves me controlling the Washington Commanders at two. Yeah. There's been plenty of narratives about the Commanders potentially trading back. I really don't think they are, especially in a QB strong year.
Right.
You have the second pick. You can't give that up.
Right.
So you may not like this.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go Drake May. I don't think that I don't think Jaden Daniels I don't think his ideal spot is Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I think Drake May will be a little bit more set to succeed there. Again, the injury factor with Jaden Daniels, I think, is there. I think he lacks a little bit of ability to target the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And we've seen that absolutely kill careers in the NFL. If you can't pepper the middle of the field effectively, it lets the defense really put you in a bind.
Right, right.
And obviously that can be improved. And a lot of those things can come from what your offense is asking you to do, what your coach is.
Yeah,
and I completely understand if they didn't want to target the middle of the field. They have Malik Nabers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you just want to send him up the sideline every play, I get it because he can.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it successfully far too often. But yeah, that being said, I'm going to take Drake May at two for the Commanders.
All right. Well, number three, I think this is another no-brainer right here.
Yeah.
We'll go with Jaden Daniels. And look, another reason why I love Jaden Daniels is because I feel like the way that we've seen the role of the quarterback shift over, you know, these past few years or whatever.
Yeah, five years,
is that
roughly.
It's really started to shift toward you can't, like, you got to be able to run some, too. Like, you got to be able to use your legs.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels, you know, he can certainly use his legs.
Yeah.
He is a great runner.
And also, I mean, I think
great improviser.
Yeah. Going off that, the general vibe of what a quarterback is asked to do nowadays, you know, Jaden Daniels didn't exactly showcase in college the field general, you know, always find the right read. He was generally a one read kind of guy. If it's not there, he was going to take off and probably gain 20 yards.
Right.
But in the league now, man, it's a lot more about, I think a lot of the offensive creativity and decision making is just in the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The guys aren't exactly asked to, you know, make a full field read every play. Obviously, you know, it's still the NFL. There will be aspects of that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is just play design and moving the pocket around and things, play action, things like that, RPOs, all of it.
Exactly.
And that's why you're seeing, that's why evaluating the quarterback is so hard because, you know, you want a good mentality, you want the intelligence, but at the same time, this athleticism is becoming so important.
Right.
And Jaden Daniels, man, especially in that new Patriots era.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting. Really interesting. But yeah. All right, there's me with the Cardinals at four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really tempted to trade back here.
Really?
If it were any other draft.
Okay.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. weren't on the board at four, I would probably trade back from the Cardinals. But you've lost some guys. You lost Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs. He was really the main guy there. I do believe in some of the, like, Michael Wilson, I believe in. He's a Stanford guy. But, again, he was probably a third, fourth-round draft pick last year, and he was that for a reason.
Is Rondale Moore still there, or did he leave?
He's still there.
Okay,
I'm sure he is. But, so you have that, but you really are missing your ex, your guy on the outside that you can depend on. And Marvin Harrison is everything.
Oh, yeah.
He embodies all of that. You really can't deny the opportunity here at four. And I think you still roll with Kyler Murray, too. He's still an incredibly talented player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see him be back on the field consistently for a full season. But I think it's an easy pick at four with Marvin Harrison.
All right, yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah. If you pass on Marvin Harrison,
that'd be
crazy.
I actually need to tell you something. In the Tuesday in the NFL show, which I... Mm-hmm. For the sake of listeners, I am also in. We did a mock draft a few weeks ago, and the way it broke down in the beginning, obviously, I think there were three quarterbacks taken. Actually, no, I think somebody was the Cardinals. Here's what happened.
Okay.
Somebody controlled the Cardinals pick, and they traded back with the Vikings, and the Vikings picked J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
Which, very realistic thing could very well happen. But so the Chargers, then you're the Chargers, and... our my good friend Evan, producer on the show, controlling the Chargers pick, Marvin Harrison is on the board.
Okay.
And he drafts Malik Nabers.
Whoa.
And
what?
He drafts Malik Nabers and excuse me. And his mentality was, you know, there was a really weird way of putting it. He said that he would rather have the versatility in of a guy who, you know, maybe a little bit faster, a little bit cleaner cuts of Malik Nabers, but right. He said, and at one point he said, would you rather have, like, I think it's kind of me choosing like prime Stefon Diggs over like Megatron. And we were like, who on
what?
I might take Megatron right now,
yeah,
at this moment. And,
yeah,
and especially you being a Lions fan.
Oh yeah,
like, it's just insane.
I miss him every season.
That. Yeah, exactly. But again, funny little allegory for,
oh my gosh,
the, I guess, that's how Marvin Harrison Jr. is valued in the draft right now. But wow. But yeah, easy call at 4 for Marvin Harrison Jr. And
so this is where it gets tricky here at number 5.
A little bit. I also, with all the narratives that we hear about teams trading up, mm-hmm, for McCarthy in this area, yeah, of like the 5 to 7 range,
yeah,
it is a little tough to figure out when that's going to happen. But
man, okay. You know what? I think it'd be really stupid if they did this, but for, yeah, for the sake of fun, we'll just mix it up a little bit here. Let's do that. Okay. With the Chargers and Vikings,
Chargers and
trading,
Vikings are trading,
swapping, you know, 5 and 11. All right.
Let me write that
down.
We'll
just, you know, have a little fun around here.
Yeah, exactly. So that means,
and so the Vikings, so the Vikings are at 5 now.
Yep.
And
I wonder what they're going to do.
I think it'd be really stupid, yeah, but they would go JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really bad move they did.
Really bad move. Explain.
Because look at the teams ahead of them. Okay, you got the Giants, which, I'm not a Daniel Jones believer. That would probably be the one team that I guess maybe would consider it.
Yeah.
But maybe Daniel Jones, they think it's the other guy, whatever. Then you have the Titans. They're good with their quarterback position. Falcons, they got theirs. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Bears, you know, they already drafted Caleb Williams. And then right. The Jets, you know, they got Aaron Rodgers.
They got a year or two.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
But
then you have the Vikings at 11.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's really a huge threat to draft JJ McCarthy before,
yeah, exactly,
pick 11.
That's fair.
It just doesn't make sense of why they would do it.
Yeah, I think their only fear would be another team trading up.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos sit right behind them, and you really don't want to get caught in a bind of, you know, you decide to lay back and see if the pick falls to you.
Right.
All of a sudden, Broncos trade up to 4 or, you know, 5, 6, whatever it may be, and decide to – and also, I mean – could I see that happening? Just with what the Chargers need and like the potential pieces that could possibly be in that trade. I'm not going to think about it too much right now, but I think it's the only reason that they would trade up that aggressively is,
yeah,
to outplay a team like the Vikings or
I guess
the Giants, or, which there have been some,
yeah,
JJ McCarthy to the Giants rumors, which I can't say I trust. Well, not
right.
trust. I can't say I believe in them.
Right.
Just from a like decision-making standpoint.
I know.
Because I think, I don't know, it seems like a lateral move, and that offense just isn't ready for JJ McCarthy yet.
No.
I think the offense you would want JJ McCarthy to come into is like the Vikings, really, mm-hmm, talented skill players, a pretty,
yeah,
solid offensive mind at head,
oh, yeah,
coach. That's where you want JJ McCarthy
right.
to go.
I mean,
you don't want him to go to an offense that he's going to be thrown in the absolute deep end.
Yeah, exactly.
Survive.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, you know, with losing Saquon Barkley is,
yeah,
a huge loss. So that's
huge
huge weapon that JJ McCarthy would not have
right.
you know, at his hand right there. So
yeah,
yeah, it wouldn't make sense if the Giants did. But look,
absolutely,
I guess for the sake of fun, we'll say the Vikings trade up to 5 and
there
and
you go
with McCarthy.
All right. I guess I will have the Giants at 6, but this seems like a pretty good time to take a quick break. We will see you guys in a few minutes. Hey, everybody. Thank you again for listening to 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to continue our mock draft. We are five picks in. Yeah. We have Bears taking Caleb Williams, Commanders taking Drake May, Patriots taking Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals, and then the Chargers trade back with the Vikings from 5 mm-hmm. to 11, and the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy at 5.
Yes, sir.
That leaves me with the New York Giants on the clock. This is a pretty interesting situation. I do have a quick draft prediction that I think could happen in real life.
Okay.
I think there's a very realistic chance that Jaden Daniels falls to the Giants at 6.
I just don't see that.
We'll see. Obviously, you know,
like both the Commanders and Patriots passing on Jaden Daniels.
I don't know, man. I think it's
they both need a quarterback.
They both need a quarterback, but I don't know, man.
Who do you think the Patriots would get? Like if the Commanders go with Drake May, who do you think the Patriots draft?
If the Commanders go with Drake May, I think there's a very high chance. I think it's a very good chance the Patriots could take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh. I mean, I guess.
I think there's a good chance they take Marvin Harrison Jr. there, and then you're left with the Cardinals, who likely trade back.
But it's like, if they draft Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 3 with no quarterback, he's gonna be in a really bad situation.
But I mean, obviously, I don't think you're making that decision. It's not necessarily like it's not the same as drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not drafting him for the situation. You're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. to improve the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, weapons are a significant lack of the Patriots.
Oh, something yeah, that, for sure.
I think it's fair to assume that it did limit their QBs a little bit. Yeah. And their QBs weren't, don't get me wrong, the QB play was not,
it's not
special
no.
in any capacity. No. But I could see him going. And also, I think there's a very high chance that, like, especially from a positional value perspective, mm-hmm. you know, we could see, like, Joe Alt go earlier than we think. Him being, you know, a 6'8 tackle blue chip. There's things like that. I think that it's hard to foresee. And
maybe
it could happen, man, but there's a pretty good chance that we don't, you know, see the four quarterbacks go in the top 5 like everyone thinks is going to happen. But,
yeah,
but I don't know, man.
No
matter what, it always seems like the draft is twice.
There's
random
always
exactly.
some sort of unpredictable top 10
in
situation.
Some capacity. But yeah. So again, me with the Giants at number 6, and this pick, I think obviously their ideal situation would be quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think that once you go past that, you know. Especially just from a fan perspective, when you look at that team,
mm-hmm.
the O-line has kind of improved in recent years, mainly with pickups like Andrew Thomas.
Right.
And I would be tempted to take Joe Alt here, but I think that Malik Nabers would be a huge addition to this team. And also, you know, maybe you're not super excited about, you know, now that those three quarterbacks have gone,
mm-hmm.
you're not super excited with what's in front of you.
Right.
You'd rather take somebody who can improve the situation.
Exactly.
And give you time to take somebody else in the future.
Right.
But who knows, man? I mean, maybe they trade up. Who knows? But for right now, I'm going to take Malik Nabers at number 6.
Okay. All right. So that leaves us with the Titans at...
Sure is.
Number 7.
Indeed.
I do think they need... Offensive line definitely 100%. One of their biggest needs. And 100%. So because of that,
especially tackle.
Right. And because of that, speaking of tackle, we're going to go with Joe Alt.
Yep.
Pretty obvious pick right there, I think.
Easy pick for sure. I mean, getting, especially with Will Levis, his pocket presence is not one of his strengths.
Yeah.
So getting a
he's got to provide protection for him who
can guard the blind side, I think that'll be huge
right.
for the team.
Yeah, you got to protect a new quarterback. Yeah.
If you're Tennessee and you walk away from this draft with Joe Alt, you should be ecstatic. You should be
for sure.
So excited about that pick. But yeah. All right, I guess we should probably keep this moving a little bit more consistently.
Yeah.
That leaves me with the Falcons. And I'm going to make maybe a little bit of a surprising pick here.
Okay.
I think I've talked about this guy before. There's been a lot of... Oh, well, I kind of forget that we're doing this based off of what we think they're going to do. Or what we think the actual team's going to do.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I mean, probably going to go...
Could be whatever way.
I'm probably going to go Dallas Turner in that
case. Yeah.
I if I were the Falcons, I think I've said this before, I would take Laiatolatu. I think Laiatolatu will be a better player immediately, and I think that's what I would be looking for if I'm the Falcons. But I do that because of all we've heard about Dallas Turner being tied to the Falcons, I think he's also still an unbelievable prospect. I don't want to overshadow
he's
that
a beast.
At all. But, yeah, I think it's very likely he goes to 8.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And so now here we are with the Bears at 9 after we gave him Caleb Williams. And you know what? We got to give him a weapon now.
Oh, boy.
And that weapon will be Roma Dunze.
I like that a lot, man. I think it's really fun.
Man, yeah.
I mean, Caleb Williams, especially with a ball winner like Romo Dunze. He's one of the best ball winners I've ever watched in college.
It's so fun watching Romo Dunze.
Especially the combination of him. I honestly think that Caleb Williams is an insane player, and it's probably because we didn't see as much Caleb Williams because of USC's play last year. But Michael Penix was my favorite quarterback to watch play football last year. Just seeing him absolutely rifle the ball down the field every time. And then for Romo Dunze to go catch it on somebody's head, it was so fun.
Yeah, that Washington offensive system was so fun to watch. Cool.
And yeah, I think it's especially a lot of people have said that they think Chicago needs one more piece. They obviously have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I think they're both really good players. I think they'll work together well.
That would be a good.
I think Romo Dunze is the perfect last guy to fit in. Keenan Allen is your pretty textbook slot guy.
Right,
finds the open spot in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore is an incredible athlete. Outruns guys.
Oh yeah,
and then you have Romo Dunze that you can put on the outside and let Caleb Williams.
Yeah, you can go. Yeah, you can take some deep shots. Yeah, just throw the ball.
I would be really excited here, man, if you walk away with Odunze and
Caleb Williams,
and Caleb Williams
for
Chicago.
That would be a nice return,
especially with some defensive picks later in the draft. This could be a really good draft for Chicago.
Oh yeah,
but that leaves me with the New York Jets. I will say, I have called this pick since about a year and a half ago.
Yep.
And I guess I won't mess around too much. I'm going to take Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
I don't think Brock Bowers should fall out of the top 10.
No.
And obviously this is the last pick to do so. But I will say, if Brock Bowers had fallen, I don't think the Chargers should take Brock Bowers at 5. But that I could see that happening. They're just that receiving core is just so bad, and you really need guys out there.
Losing Keenan Allen was a big loss.
Exactly. So I think you'd probably be okay with taking the the Chargers haven't picked yet.
Yeah, we haven't picked.
Yeah, they've not picked yet. Excuse me. That being said, though, I'm gonna roll with Brock Bowers to the New York Jets.
All right.
So I think it's a pretty easy pick. That offense would become very, very good. Very fast.
Oh yeah, no question. So, all right, we got the Chargers here.
Chargers at 11.
They could go multiple different ways.
They sure could.
They could go so many different ways. I mean, because they lost Keenan Allen. They also lost Austin Eckler.
Mike Williams.
You know what? Should we give him a weapon? Should we give another team a weapon? Or would it be a little too early?
I don't know.
It'd probably be a little too early.
The value, I think it may be early.
Yeah, we'll probably go with the defensive player then.
Yeah.
Right.
The only thing I could maybe see them doing is I could see Brian Thomas Jr. going that early, but that's really the only guy I could see going at 11 outside of Odunze, Neighbors, Harrison.
Man, okay. Man, this is a really tough spot here for the Chargers.
Do not envy you.
Because this is probably really early, too, if you go with defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
should we do it?
I mean, would this be? You know what? You know, we'll do it. It might be a crazy pick, but we'll go Jerzon Newton.
Good. I'm glad to see him go high.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan. He just wins.
Yeah,
constantly. He just always wins his rep. It's so cool. I'm really excited to see him at the next level. I haven't seen many people talk about him, but I think
as much as they should,
going to make an impact early.
Right.
100%. That's a good pick. All right. Denver Broncos, number 12. This is also kind of a weird one because, my God, this team needs a quarterback. And their options are limited here. And it's also a really delicate balance of whether you take a quarterback here or you try to play the game of if he's going to fall
right
to the second or third round.
Exactly.
And I think for me personally, I'm more on the way of, like, taking your quarterback early and getting your guy, especially when you need him that bad. I don't think that's what the Broncos are going to do.
I don't think so either.
Especially with the draft history of the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They've kind of messed that up a few times, reaching on a guy that they probably shouldn't have taken. So I think they probably go a little bit more safe. And I think that they're also in a – I think it's fair to say they're kind of in a best player available
type thing.
Scenario.
Yeah.
And they can I don't necessarily think this guy is the best player available, but I think because they already have a pretty talented number one corner in Patrick Surtain, I would probably go edge.
Okay.
And with that, I'm going to take Lyot a lot, too.
Oh, okay.
To the Broncos.
Interesting.
I pondered Cooper DeJean, but – and he could go that early –
not Quinion Mitchell?
I'd be surprised. Well, Quinion Mitchell, I view Quinion Mitchell as like an outside cornerback one. And I think only because Patrick Surtain's there, you go loud.
But it would be a great pairing.
It would be a great pairing. But again, I mean, who are the edge defenders for that team right now?
Yeah.
That defensive line needs to be improved.
It does.
So, I think that you start with Lattelatu, who I do think is a pretty underrated player.
Oh, yeah.
The injury history gets him. Makes him fall back a little bit, but that leaves you with
the Raiders.
Vegas,
oh boy.
13.
Is this another possible quarterback situation here?
It might be.
I think it might be, but it's like, man, it might end up having to be.
Yeah.
Because is O'Connell still?
Yep.
The guy. Yeah.
Sure is.
Jeez.
I know.
Man, that's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I think they actually might do it, too, because like you said, it seems like the Broncos and the Raiders here might just take a guy early just to get their guy.
Yeah.
Because you never know who could trade up, you know, from early in the second round back into the first round.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we'll go Michael Penix.
Nice.
I guess we'll go Michael Penix. I don't know.
I love it.
If I would do that at 13, it's probably not what I would do.
It may
13.
Be rich, but again, it's such a tough thing to figure out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. There's some buzz with Michael Penix in the first round.
Yeah.
Like maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just love for Penix to go to Vegas. I think it would be awesome.
Crazy.
I think it would be great.
I mean, it is the same stadium where he won the Pac-12 championship
exactly.
against Oregon. So.
And, I mean, starting out with a guy like Davante Adams, I mean, I think that's a great
Oh, yeah. That's a good, really good weapon.
And I'm just a fan of his. I would love to see him go somewhere.
I know. Elliot likes to hate on Michael Penix. I don't know why he loves to hate on him, but I don't know. I've always liked him. I always thought he was fun
Elliot
to
doesn't
watch.
Like to watch the tape. When you watch the tape, he's sick. It's just fun. But
exactly.
The guy I considered taking at 12 was Bo Nix for the Broncos because they've been tied to Bo Nix a lot.
Oh, I'm just not a
I think I would be really surprised if the Raiders took Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I think they would definitely take Michael Penix ahead of Bo Nix.
Oh, for sure.
But let's see. There goes Michael Penix. Leaves me, Saints, at 14.
Yes, sir.
Saints are also kind of in a weird spot. They technically need a quarterback, I think, at some point, but they're going to roll with Derek Carr.
They're not taking a quarterback here.
Exactly. And I do think that this is where some of the other tackles are going to start to come off the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I am going to go with – again, I'm trying to stay in the mindset of we're projecting what they're going to do.
Right, I know.
And so because of that, I'm going to go with Olufoshanu.
Oh, okay.
Saints. I think that between him, I mean, it's obviously him, Fatanu, Fuaga, and Latham. It's tough to figure out who's going to go where. But I just, from a buzz perspective and also from a potential perspective, I think that Olufoshanu is probably more likely. And it's also kind of adjacent to the Trevor Penning pick a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could argue that the Trevor Penning pick would dissuade them from doing a somewhat potential-based pick for a tackle.
But, I mean, there's some – yeah, but, like, the thing is this year's draft class with the offensive linemen, it's good.
It's really good. You can kind of choose what you want to prioritize.
Right.
And Fatanu is probably he's probably my favorite pass blocker, but I'm going to go Olu, man. I think Olu's a little bit better, a little bit more versatile.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, so we have the Colts here. Mm-hmm. I believe, if I remember correctly – I think in our first mock draft we did a few weeks ago, I think we went defense. I think I picked Cooper DeJean for them.
You did?
In that one. Because I think the reason I did that was because Quinion Mitchell was off the board.
He fell earlier for sure.
Quinion Mitchell's on the board now. So
yes. Decision made.
Let's go Quinion Mitchell here.
There you go. Yeah, that's a pretty easy pick. They need corners out there. Let's see. Quinion Mitchell to the Colts. That was me, Seattle.
Yep.
Excuse me. I think they could definitely go. I think that they could definitely use some O-line.
Oh, for sure.
Fixed. I think that my personal favorite at this point, and I guess probably I think could very well go in this spot, is going to be J.C. Latham.
Okay.
I think that he'll probably – their pass blocking scenario at tackle is, I think, pretty good. And Latham is I think he's probably the best run blocker of the offensive lineman on the board right now. So I'm going to go Latham here. I guess I would probably consider Powers Johnson, but it just feels early, especially with Latham on the board. I think that pick's just worth it.
My question would be, will they also consider Fatano just, you know, because he's from Washington?
I mean, that is true.
Seattle,
and I think that does have more of an impact with drafts than
I realize. Would they draft a local guy?
Yeah.
That's what I wonder.
I think that's very likely. I'm gonna roll with Latham because I think the upside's there, and the run, and they're probably gonna prioritize run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all Jags right. 17.
So here we go with the Jags at 17. They, I guess you could say, they need some offensive line help too.
Yeah, especially on the interior.
Interior, right?
Similar to the this.
Yeah, we talked about Jackson Powers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good, strong center. So you know what?
Easy.
Jags going to get Jackson Powers Johnson right here.
Got the guy they need. All right. That's going to have me with the Bengals at 18. I'm going to give myself time to think about it.
All right.
While we go to break. We will see you guys in just a few minutes. Alrighty, we are back. We are 17 picks in. We've got 18 picks to finish in the next roughly 18 minutes.
Isn't it 15? Isn't it 32, right?
Oh, it's totally... How many are left? Yeah, whatever that math is with 17.
Yeah, around 15.
Around 15
somewhat.
Picks.
Yeah, whatever. We got about half.
Yeah, I was really just looking at pick 18. And I just stuck with it. Anyway, 15 picks to roll with. Again, I've got the Bengals. I think this is a pretty easy pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Troy Fatanu out of Washington at tackle. You get a good pass protector for a team that does like to pass the ball and has a very good quarterback. I think I don't need to explain that too much. They have needed line help for a good portion of time.
Oh, yeah.
And he would plug in and play really well.
Yeah, so Rams here at 19. I think they go D line, and who's a good D lineman here? We got Byron Murphy.
Absolutely.
So we'll go Byron Murphy here.
Yeah, Byron. Pretty easy, solid pick. Obviously, after losing Aaron Donald in the draft, but I think Byron Murphy's just a beast, man. Especially when it comes to interior defensive linemen. He's big, he's strong and he is a talented player. But it would be fun to watch him in LA.
Yeah,
it would. I guess I'm at 20 with the Steelers.
Elliot's beloved Steelers.
Elliot's beloved Steelers. I almost just want to make a horrible pick just to mess with him.
Just to mess with him.
Just to put that energy into the universe.
Go, you know, like Bo Nix or something stupid.
Yeah, something awful. Who should we do here? I'm going to – they definitely need some help on the O-line. And I could honestly there's a good chance that he falls here. I could see J.C. Latham going to the Steelers for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about him, but I am going to go – God, I think that – you know what? No, there's no way he should go over him. I'm going to take Actually, no. I am. I'm gonna go Terry Arnold here.
I'm gonna go Terry Arnold here. Okay.
I think they'd prefer to take somebody on the outside rather than a interior, rather than a
more offensive lineman.
I was just going from a secondary perspective.
Oh, okay.
I think they'd rather go someone on the outside instead of someone on the interior because I think you still have a really good box safety slot guy in Minkah Fitzpatrick. But yeah, I'm gonna make that pick.
Okay.
The Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins here at 21. You know what? We might go with Edge here.
There you go.
And we will be doing Jared Verse out of Florida State.
Good pick. It was probably about time he went. There he goes. So Jared Verse stays in Florida. Now Miami. Now I am the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's a very likely pick. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna take Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
For the Eagles, I think it's a very likely pick for them. They need defensive back help. A lot of people are saying that it'll plug in more as a safety. I think regardless, the Eagles just need guys. They just need talented defensive backs, and that's what Cooper DeJean offers.
Right.
I will say I pondered taking Cooper DeJean for the Steelers, which was why I was debating that pick a lot, and having Terry Arnold fall to the Eagles. But I'm gonna roll with this. I think this is slightly more likely.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. Vikings at 23. Now, I guess with the projections here, when these projections trade or are projecting the Vikings starters pick, I guess what they're also projecting is, see, we just did 5 and 11 swap. These projections here on the mock drafts are doing is that the Chargers give the Vikings pick 5 and the Chargers get pick 11 and 23.
That would make sense to trade up that high, but
we just did 5-11, so for the sake of that, we're just gonna stick with the Vikings here.
Yeah,
and we've already had one with what's his name, JJ McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy. Yeah.
So
they've got their quarterback.
Yes, they got their quarterback, and then never mind. I was looking at the wrong thing. Anyways,
you're good.
So should we go offensive lineman here?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think
that's a safe pick. You know what? Let's go. We might go with Fuaga.
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 Yeah.
Out of Oregon State.
I would have considered, I think Amarius Mims is a fun pick.
Yeah, I considered that too.
Just because of like the plug-in aspect of maybe playing in the interior, but Fuaga is definitely your pass protector.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you probably... Just in general, I think people...
We got, yeah. Well, and they got to give J.J. McCarthy some protection too.
Yeah, exactly. Amarius Mims is a super talented and absolute freak of an athlete.
Yeah.
He is maybe a little underdeveloped in the pass protection game, so you want to
play it safe
with Fuaga. All righty. There's me with the Cowboys. And wow, are the Cowboys a weird team. they're obviously a good team, but it's kind of hard to figure out what they need to take that next step.
Right.
I think it starts with a different head coach, but the Cowboys don't seem to think that way. So I am going to go with, especially after the loss.
They need a new head coach.
After the loss of Tyron Smith to the Jets, I think I would be real scared of the status of that offensive line.
Oh, yeah. They need to protect
Dak Prescott.
Start to repair it.
I'm going to go with Amarius Mims.
Yeah.
Again, ridiculous prospect. I think it's a pretty easy bet for them. And also, hard to go wrong taking a tackle in the first round. That's pretty much always a good idea. But, yeah.
Packers here at 25. I think they will probably also go
offensive
line. The question is who. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go Graham Barton.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not too bad of a pick.
100%. Let's see. All right. Now I will be... Excuse me. You took Graham Barton.
Graham Barton.
Duke tackle to the Packers. That leaves me with the Bucks here. I could foresee a trade back here.
Okay.
But I think that it's hard to turn down Nate Wiggins at 26. I think you're starting to get into pretty good value for him right here. And I would also consider Kool-Aid, but I think I just like Nate Wiggins slightly more as a prospect, and I think he'll go higher than Kool-Aid. So I'm going to take Nate Wiggins
here, okay,
for the Bucks. And they could definitely use some secondary help.
Oh, but yeah, they could. They could.
These Cardinals, 27.
They could do a couple different things.
Yeah.
Let's see. Have they had just one pick so far? Is that what it was?
I believe so.
Okay.
Just so Maserati Marv.
Just Maserati Marv. They also possibly could go offensive line.
Yeah.
We might be going with a run of offensive linemen here.
Yeah. We're starting to get into a weird value spot for offensive linemen, I will say, because there are teams that want offensive linemen and probably do need.
Right.
But, you know, guys like Jordan Morgan, yeah, like they're good players.
They could.
Would they also
have an early pick there in the second round, too? Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so they could probably wait then.
I assume they'll still have four in the second round.
Yeah.
Right?
It would be somewhere around there.
I can't imagine they've lost.
So you would have to think that they could probably wait on that.
So you probably check out like a best player available kind of thing here, I think.
Or would we go with possible secondary help at the quarterback?
You could definitely go secondary help here. There's a pretty good one on the board.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Arizona Cardinal. That's a pretty good pick. Pretty safe.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes.
All right. This is very obvious. Bills.
You think so? Honestly, I'm pretty surprised that A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. are both on the board. I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is a better idea as a draft pick. Honestly, there's a very real chance that he's not on the board at 28, but that's how it's fallen so far. And if I'm the Bills, I think you absolutely go Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
A.D. Mitchell may have a higher ceiling, but there are some worries that I would have about A.D. Mitchell that I think it's a little safer to go Brian Thomas.
I agree.
So, I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. for the Bills.
All right, so my beloved Lions here. It's very obvious.
I'm glad it worked out this way.
I have said it over and over and over and over. We need cornerbacks. We need a cornerback. We need secondary. It was not good, nowhere near good enough last season.
I see a pretty clear pick here for the Detroit Lions. Maybe not.
I really like this guy, and I've heard that. I've heard the Lions have really liked this guy too. Ennis Rakestraw. From what I've read, it seems like he's a dog.
He's a beast.
He's a Dan Campbell type guy.
Yeah. I did think you would consider Sanders still here, the Michigan DB, just because of the hometown aspect.
Yeah, I don't
think. But Ennis Rakestraw is a little bit more talked about, I think. He's a little bit more exciting.
I like Rakestraw a lot.
He's a kneecap biter.
Yeah, yes, he is. That's what we're looking for.
Uh-huh. All right, Ennis Rakestraw. Late second round to the Lions. I have the Ravens now. And this one, I could definitely have some fun with this pick. Mm-hmm. I do think, because Ravens they're essentially on the cusp. They're an incredible team last year. I think the only things you would want to add are things that kind of aren't, you know, necessarily team or necessities for team building. Mm-hmm. Guys that are just going to kind of take it to the next level and open up the offense.
Right.
And, with that in mind, I think it's hard to deny A.D. Mitchell at 30 for the Ravens. You know, maybe the concerns are there, but that guy's incredibly talented, and you could use a bigger guy, a consistent bigger guy on that wide receiving core. So the way he would plug in with Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, that would become a dangerous.
Two very young, very good, booming receivers right there for Baltimore.
So AD Mitchell is going to be a Raven, but
so we got another team here, the 49ers, who need some offensive line help.
Sure do.
They do. They need it.
Bad.
We're gonna go tackle, and we're gonna go with Jordan Morgan.
Just,
you know, best offensive tackle.
Yeah, best tackle
left here.
And I get it. It's probably the right call. Now, this is a fun pick.
Yes, it is.
It could go a few ways. Obviously, someone who is a little bit polarizing is Xavier Worthy. Here, because I think that figuring out how teams feel about him is very strange, because I do think overall he's probably a second round receiver. But at the same time, I know the Chiefs want to have that ability to stretch the field, And they got, I don't know what Rashee Rice's situation is going to be.
Yeah.
But assuming he's on the field, he is a pretty solid wide receiver one.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you can depend on most of the time.
Yep.
And, you have to think about the Xavier Worthy 4-2-1. And outside of the 4-2-1, he has ridiculous play speed.
It's insane.
Change of directions off the charts. It's just about if the value is there. And I don't think they're going to take him here, honestly.
Really?
I don't think they are, but I don't want to be wrong about that, though, because it does make a lot of sense.
It does.
I think they could totally.
They got to improve the receiver depth
here, too.
They got to improve the receiver depth.
They do, and I think Troy Franklin, he's also a very good player, but he's not quite the, speed demon that Xavier Worthy is. He's not he's a super smooth guy, but if you want exclusively vertical threat and explosiveness, you would go Xavier Worthy. But I think if you want a little bit more balance and you want him to plug in maybe a little bit more consistently, I think you would go Troy Franklin.
Okay.
And
why Franklin over McConkie?
I think that Franklin is a little bit more, because I think they probably are looking for a little bit of the explosive play aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think he offers that more than McConkie does.
Yeah.
McConkie's a good player. He does have a little bit of the injury history.
Right.
And I do think that what he could offer in that offense, I think Kelce supplies very well.
Yeah.
Because McConkie is a good route runner, but I think he's definitely more successful in the middle of the field.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's where he lives.
Exactly. So that's why I would go Troy Franklin here.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm gonna roll with that. I think he would be really good in that offense.
There we go. That's round one, folks.
That is the entirety of round one. That being said, before we leave, because there is a team that sits right outside the first round.
Yes.
The Carolina Panthers sit at 33.
Yes.
And
they don't have a first round pick.
They do not have a first round pick
unless they trade it.
Even though they were the worst team in the league, they don't have a first round pick. Now, that being said,
not a good state.
We did just talk about Ladd McConkie.
Yep.
As much as it hurts me to say, being in Alabama, I'm a fan of his, man. He's so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He's so smooth. I'm not that worried about the injury stuff. He's just, every time he's on the field, he's a good player. He's obviously a good player.
He makes an impact.
Exactly. And I think with us having Deontay Johnson being a solid, perimeter guy, Adam Thielen's still on the team, I think Ladd McConkie would work pretty well with this team.
Oh, yeah.
And Bryce Young's really good at targeting the middle of the field. Fortunately, that's one of that's even despite his size. But yeah, man, I'm gonna roll with Ladd McConkie here. Overall, just a good offensive addition.
Is that what you think they would do? Is that what you want?
I think it's probably likely it's what they do. There's been so much buzz about Peyton Wilson.
Yeah.
With the Panthers.
But 33,
maybe it's a little rich. Honestly, I could see him going at 39 to the Panthers.
It wouldn't be a total surprise.
I'd still be a little bit worried about it because he's not – I don't think he's – lock of a good linebacker by any stretch. I think that the whole Luke Kuechly comparisons are getting fans excited. But you gotta be careful with that.
Right.
You gotta be really careful with that. And I don't think I'd be mad if we ended up with him because I do think he is a good player. Crazy athletic.
Oh, for sure.
He did maybe some questionable decision making at times, but and that's not great for an off ball linebacker. But yeah, I think you'd probably go him there. Maybe there's some guy that they love that I'm just not familiar with. Could be an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on who falls.
Right.
But because there's a very real chance that A.D. Mitchell falls to the second round. I could see them taking him. But for now, without it's fallen.
All right.
The Panthers are going to take Ladd McConkie. All right.
There we go.
And that's the only pick that we're going to make in the second round.
Okay.
For no reason. But yeah. That has been our mock draft. Hopefully we can come back and compare it. Get 20% of the picks right.
I hope we get more than 20.
I would love to get more than 20, but I'm trying to just being realistic. The draft is always insane every year.
No,
and
that's
true. one pick that we make wrong early
can it's a chain reaction
completely change everything else.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe my 20%.
Or one trade that exactly. No one expects. Yeah.
Maybe I'm shooting low. I would love to get more than 20%, but that's what I'm going to guess we get for now.
All right.
But with that being said, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I hope this. I hope we can come back with an accurate mock draft. Yeah. But for now, we will see. Actually, we may see you at the draft.
Yeah, we may.
Thursday night next week.
Yeah.
That being said,
right here, not Detroit.
Right back here. Not in Detroit. We will not see you in Detroit. But we will see you guys next week.